Kia ora tato. I'm Matt Raymond.
And I'm Eugene Bingham.
And this is the COVID Grab Bag, Dirt Church Radio, interesting conversations with interesting runners.
Hey, you know another good thing about being in a Wild Things VIP member?
Well, I found on the trail directory that, because we're in lockdown now, they've got a map from my couch to my fridge, which is pretty cool. I set the fastest known time on that the other day. But
what's what's the grunt factor on that?
It's the gnarl factor is pretty high. But
well, there's a grunt factor and a gnarl factor.
That's right. If you weren't in level three lockdown, I mean, what would be the application of such a trail directory, Eugene?
Well, it's actually really, really helpful, and you can when you're away elsewhere, for instance, not on your couch, you can jump on the Wild Things trail directory and it will actually figure out where you are. I think Mal follows everyone. Like, he's just around the right corner, like keeping an eye on you, saying, oh, there's and he makes suggestions on the trail directory, on the app, on the website, on the interwebs, and it tells you what good trails are around you. And you can go, huh, that looks cool. Just don't make this. Yeah. Just make sure you
read. So I'm presuming he keeps an overview of the digital footprint, not he's like lurking.
No, he is. That's the thing. He's real fast. He's following everyone around. And then he just makes these suggestions. So that's, I think, how it works. But what you got to do. Yeah.
No, you go.
Well, I was just going to say, what you got to do is get into wildthings.club and sign up for VIP membership. And if you use the code DCR2021, you get 15 months of VIP membership for the price of 12. So you get something good. Mel's happy. He fuels him as he chases people around the country. And we're happy because we get a bit of...
Yeah, he shines the light of his benevolence on us. Eugene, do you have a real-world example when the Wild Things Trail Directory has benefited you recently?
Lots of them. I used it around the South Island and it was very, very handy. Thanks, Mal.
Do you know what Ultra Spire have got in stock?
What? What have they got?
The Zygos 4. The size that people like. Large size.
Wow.
The ultimate, most amazing pack. With the hidden little phone pocket. And lots of people at Tarawera came across the line going like,
yeah,
you changed my life.
Yeah.
I was carrying my phone in a Ziploc bag like an animal, like a chimpanzee, and now I can put it in the pocket of this Zygos. But they've also got those weird little antenna bottle things that are now seeming to have snuck their way in. Yes. All the rage. I'm still not sold on them, but, you know, I'm yet to have my head turned. But I've been wrong before. But if you go to ultraspire.co.nz, you'll be able to find the Zygos 4 for sale in a variety of sizes, including large. And they really are a fantastic pack. 14 litres, fits nice and tight to your body. Great. It's a dream to set and forget. Heaps of storage. And keep your cell phone nice and dry so you can take all the best selfies on your adventures.
Because if it's not on the gram.
Yeah, if it's not on the gram, it didn't happen. But if you go to ultraspire.co.nz or hit them up on the gram, Grant will be able to set you right. In this upcoming episode of Dirt Church Radio, you'll hear me talking about my trepidation of going back to university. And I was sitting next to this long, cool drink of water from Christchurch, who was a very nice gentleman, and he worked at the Christchurch Emergency Department. And I said, oh, do you know my friend Jules, who is one of the leading lights behind furtherfaster.co.nz and the store attached to that web domain? Indeed he did. And he knew her, and he did not know that she was part of the team that the leading independently owned outdoors retail in the country.
So many strings to their bow down there. Many strings to their bow.
I mean, you can go in there, you can get health advice.
I even, during our trails down south, came across some poo that I didn't know what it was on the trail. And I thought, who can I check with to find out if this is mountain lion poo? Who would you check with? The further faster people. That's so I tag them in a social media post.
Have they got like a poo directory? They're like,
they just know these things because they know everything about the outdoors. And if you've got questions, get in there, talk to them, get the gear.
And what was the result?
Well, I'm still here, aren't I?
Yeah, true. Oh my Lord. Look, we apologize for this advert, but we're doing our best under trying times. And if you go to furtherfaster.co.nz, they really do have the most amazing quality gear for your outdoors adventure. And Rocky, Badger, Jacob, Joe, you know, they're a good bunch, and they look after us, and we want them to look after you too.
It goes something like further, faster, there in Christchurch. Rocky is hairy and so is Badger. Jules is nice and Jack is delicious. Go to further, faster now.
Oh, further, faster, there in Christchurch. Rocky is hairy and so is Badger. Jules is nice and Jack is delicious. Go to further, faster now.
Christchurch Radio.
I don't reckon a COVID grab bag sounds actually very nice, but... You know, we're here.
We kind of made it. It's episode 132. Have we made it?
We made it, man. We're back at it. And we're kicking COVID and its nasty little virus balls again.
Is that what those little things are? Oh, okay. Sometimes it feels like we are suspended in a bit of a horrible dream, to be honest. But, whoa. Yeah. Mm. So... I mean, We had all these plans for this week's episode, but, you know, then COVID kind of tipped us up a little bit. So we have kind of a bit of a, as we said, a bit of a grab bag, and it's actually worked out really well, I think.
Yeah, yeah. So we've got a discussion with Tarawera Ultramarathon 100-mile female winner, birthday girl Dr. Katie Wright, and the GOAT race director Jason Cameron. So... which is a lovely, two lovely little sort of bijou interviewettes. And we're just going to have a little rundown and kind of get through the madness of the last week and hope that everyone's okay and still a bit motivated and, or at least, you know, rubber side down and doing the best you can.
Yeah, yeah. So for those of you who are listening, tuning in from the future or from overseas or something, or have been living under a rock or running in the mountains like Katie Wright, we had another COVID breakout on the weekend, and so Auckland went back into level 3, the rest of the country went back into level 2, and I was... out of Auckland, and so were you, Matt, and so we both got those text alerts. God, they're alarming. It was all on.
Where were you when you got the text alert?
Oh, I was in North Canterbury, so not too remote, but yeah, kind of felt like a million miles away from Auckland. You were up north.
Yeah, I was up at Helena Bay, and was actually on the beach, taking photos of the full moon and hanging out with the family that we were up there with and just generally having a gay old time. And then, ruh-roh.
You started howling at the moon. So let's dive into this, because one of your hats is as co-race director, correct me if that's wrong, of Riverhead Rampage, which was supposed to be on Saturday. So What unfolded once you got that text on Saturday?
Well, I mean, as we, and I, you know, I take my hat off to Jason, I take my hat off to Sean and Madeline Collins, to Terry Davies, to the Tarawera team, to, you know, I'm forgetting people, they're falling off, because there's just so many people out there who make their living doing this stuff and who, or do it, you know, like, and it's a labor of love, and that's very much what Halitau Riverhead Rampage is. We're set up for a not-for-profit, you know, we're a registered not-for-profit, we're a charity, and our whole deal is to raise money for the primary school. But it's the, you know, it's the eighth year that we've done, it would have been the eighth year that it's gone ahead. And, you know, the, we'd had, you know, it's been difficult with COVID. It's been difficult. We lost some members of our race committee. So there was, you know, a large part of the donkey work was being done by Rebecca and I with our, you know, our close friend Matt, taking on a whole nother sphere of stuff. And it's hard work. And then to hear, you know, to sort of get it canned, it was rough. It was really rough, actually.
So yeah, effectively going into level three is just like, there's just no coming back. Done. From that, is it? Boom, yep. It's off.
Yep.
You can't have a race at that alert level. So did that, so what did you, I mean, was there a decision to be made? Was there even a discussion? What's happened?
Well, I mean, as you know, and as of recording, we've just actually, so initially, I mean, I don't think it's, you know, initially we were just pretty crestfallen and we were like, we're just going to can it, you know, that's us done for the year, you know, like we've all, you know, we all have jobs, we all have other things going on in our lives, you know, we're all essential workers, we all work in, you know, acute health, like Rebecca's an occupational therapist, I'm a, you know, a nurse specialist and Matt's a EMT, you know, so we're all busy people and we just sort of, quite dejected and a bit grumpy about the whole thing, but we've decided as of tonight that we're not going to cancel it, because heaps of people had entered and felt a bit stink to just say, no, that's us. So we're just kind of seeing what happens. So we've sent out, you know, the emails and everything, and so that's good that we're not gonna stop it, but we're gonna definitely postpone. Well, we can't have it, you know, in the sort of immediate future, because we'll be in level three next week and then, or this week, and then who knows where to from there.
Mm. Because even level two is quite difficult, isn't it?
It's a race that across its three formats, I mean, we're incredibly lucky, you know, like it's hundreds of people come every year. So already we can't run it in level two.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's just not a goer. So it's in a holding pattern. So you're hoping to get a date once things have calmed down a bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. So that's the banger, and you know, it'll be a different kettle of fish. But it does actually, you know, again, it's just it feels, on the one hand, we feel incredibly lucky to be doing it. I can't imagine how stressful it would feel to have your income.
Mm.
Based on it, you know, like so many people, it becomes tangled up in people's thoughts, you know, and they train for the event and they enjoy the event, and you know, people do the event as anniversary runs with their wives and stuff like that, and it is special to people. So you know, it feels good to be at least not laying down just yet.
Yeah. Well, that's speaking as someone who loves the event and loves getting involved, and you know, I've done tailing Charlie duties the last couple of years and really enjoyed it. I'm stoked that that's still a possibility, that we can have this magic little event once we get rid of this thing. But my heart's went out to you guys on Saturday night with just, I was just, oh, gutted for you, because I know all the moving parts that involves and all the things that have to be organized and then unorganized and just a tangled web. I just, yeah, heartbroken.
Mm. It was full on. Mm. It was full on. Mm. There's no other word to really describe it. But, you know, I here we are, you know, and I guess it makes it, it feels reassuring, you know, we can flex up. But also I'm thinking about, you know, people planning their race seasons, people planning on travel. You know, I know for me this week, you know, coaching or being coached, sticking to a training plan when you don't know what's around the corner. You know, I mean, I was even, one of the things that I'd planned to do, or I still plan to do it, is it's my birthday next week. I'm going to run my age on my birthday.
21.
So, oh. Yeah, 18. Mm. 18. That's
brilliant.
But 44, but it's exactly around, you know, that's exactly around Riverhead Forest.
Yep.
And from my door to my door. However, if we're in, you know, still in level three or level two, there's no way I'm going to entertain doing that, because I would feel irresponsible going out right into the middle of nowhere and then, you know, I roll my ankle and someone's got to come get me or what have you.
Mm.
but definitely, you know, sort of planning, you know, you know, what's, it's definitely going ahead, but under what sort of, you know, it's, and I feel for all the people out there who are, you know, who are probably scratching their heads.
You could go up and down your driveway, I reckon, in 44 kilometres of going up and down your driveway, you'd get like 5,000 metres of ascent.
Yeah, that would be heckers. But we're thinking about my block's a kilometre, so we'll see how we go.
Yeah. Well, anyway, fingers crossed. But it just, I mean, you know, I kind of was, I guess, overly optimistic that 2021 would be different, and yet already we've been into two lockdowns here in Auckland, and, you know, it does just make everything feel, yeah, that whole, like you mentioned, you know, planning your race season and sort of booking travel for races and things like that, it just becomes, you know, it throws you, doesn't it? It makes it really hard to commit to things.
Yeah, it is. It's that sense. But I guess I would encourage people just to keep putting, I know it sounds a bit flossy and we've said it before, but just keep putting one foot in front of the other, because there's, you know, you can cope with what you can cope, or you can deal with what you can control, right? And there's lots of stuff we can't control. So
yeah.
And we just, I guess it's us just saying kia kaha.
Absolutely. And in terms of your own running, you know, like, I guess what this last year has taught us is that we've got to have more to our running than just racing. You know, for me, racing is kind of secondary, really. What I love is the training process and getting out with my mates. Well, obviously that hasn't been possible for lots of the time, but still it is a possibility. You know, it's more often than not. So you've got to find those other motivations, find those other things that make you get out and run, that make you enjoy it. You know, getting out in nature, just getting outside and breathing fresh air. I know, you know, I've been forced back into work from home, and it's good to just be able to get out and stretch the legs and breathe in some non-work from home air. So, you know, find those other things that will motivate you to keep running, so that when we do get back to normal, you know, you're good to go.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, and how was your week, man? Because it sounds like up until lockdown, you were having a blast.
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah, we had a great time. So Suzanne and I totally fluked it with the timing of our trip away. We headed down south 2 days, you know, after we'd gone back into level two so we could travel, and we flew back on Sunday after we'd just gone back into level three. So we just absolutely fluked the timing, but man, I loved it down there, and it's such a magical part of the country. We were mostly in we travelled south from Christchurch and then across into the middle of the island, really, up through Central Otago and then up to Mount Cook. So I just had some absolutely epic runs. Had a good run at Naseby, as I talked about on the show last week. Bannockburn was brilliant to run at, and Kieran Phillip did drop me a line the next day saying, "How long are you in town for?" So a narrow escape there.
yeah. Rip your legs off.
No, it would have been good to run with you, mate. But and then up to Oamaru, had a nice run on the Alps to Ocean course, and thought, wow, that would be a good mission, that multi-day course. But my favourite was up at Mount Cook. So did a walk on the Hawker Valley track, and then was looking for what I thought was going to be a little run, and I saw a run on the Wild Things directory at a track called Red Tarns, and it was only 3K, and I thought, oh yeah, I'll just go for, you know, I mean, I just want a little run after our walk.
How hard could this be?
Holy flippin' moly, felt like my lungs were ripped out and my legs were ground down to stumps. It was unbelievable. I think it was 300 metres, 400 metres maybe, or 300 metres of ascent in 1K. I had one of those moments. You know how I'm not the best downhill runner? I'm not afraid to admit that. But I did have one of those moments coming down where I made the mistake of looking down the mountain, and,
oh, right,
and my head just wobbled. I was like, oh. It was so steep. And it was so, I was so high. But I loved it. It was beautiful. And I really, really enjoyed. And then ran Mount John on at Tikapua on Saturday and spotted a wallaby.
Hey.
Yeah. Not a mountain lion, but a wallaby.
Yeah.
Which I reported to the, was it ECAN? Whatever.
Did you know that they're omnivorous? This is a Kerry Suter animal fact. It's probably the only one that I could repeat on Gertrude's radio because the other ones are quite ribald. I don't know what nature programs he's been watching, but wallabies are omnivorous.
Really?
Yeah.
Well.
So you got away with a, you got away lucky because there's 30 of them.
Yeah. Could have been Tucker.
You'd have been buggered.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. No, no, it didn't get that. Once again, tons of rabbits, but and a stunning, stunning sunrise. So yeah, I felt really, really lucky to get to run on some places that I see, you know, people running in and enjoying, and yeah, it was magic. So you were up north.
Yeah. So I mean, this week for me, it was. I mean, we both have very busy lives, right?
Yep.
And we both kind of have a lot of irons in the fire. We work full time jobs. We have families. We train. We do, you know, we do this thing. We do other things. And I mean, this week, I mean, I've used the word before in here, but it was heckers. It was easily the busiest week in sort of living memory that I've had. You know, we had final organising things for RiverAm. Extremely busy work and stress. And then after that, I had my first 2 days at university, which was, you know, so full on. Like doing a you know, an advanced physical assessment paper. And I've not done physical health ever in my career. So, you know, like they're talking about all the cranial lymph nodes that you have. And I'm like, what's a cranial lymph node? And, you know, like,
yeah.
You know, having to do like an ENT exam on someone. And, oh, God, I was a basket case. And then I'm trying to fit in training as well. And so I had to kind of, you know, I take it seriously because I, you know, I pay for it and I want it to be worth my while. But I came to the thing, I was like, I really need to just put this in its place, you know. I ended up taking my gear away, the plan to get some long runs over the weekend, but I just spent the time swimming, like resting, and that's what I did. I rested, yeah. And I swam.
Great.
And I swam a lot, like I, like, 4 or 5 swims on the first day, and you know, like we just swam.
Mm.
And yeah, like I said, we were down the beach taking photos of the moon when we got the alert, and then that's us. Mm. So yeah, it's been far out, but it was actually nice to actually just have a little break.
Mm. Mm.
Like I sort of said, oh, you know, I didn't get that Tarawera post Tarawera thing. I didn't get that post Kepler thing either because we just went straight back into working and doing things and training and thinking and running and. Just, yeah, it's sometimes, you know, the universe lets you know that it's time to have a bit of a reset, right?
Yeah, yeah. The kids would have loved all that swimming too.
Yeah, they did. They were fully into it. It was amazing.
Mm. All right. Shall we do this? Shall I hit the red button?
Hit that red button.
Okay, so a couple of races snuck through at the weekend. The GOAT. So, you know, it's had a bit of a bumpy ride the last couple of years, but they got the GOAT in this year. I mean, it's a, you know, what an extraordinary race. Only sort of quite unquote only 20 kilometres, but, you know, more than 1,000 metres of vertical ascent and you know, on Mount Ruapehu in the Tongariro National Park. So stunning, stunning. Course, isn't it?
Yeah. It, again, as you know, like it has a fearsome reputation, and just it sells out every year, and people, yeah, it's just madness.
Yep.
But
so Sabrina Grogan brought it home in 2:29:29. How's that for a time? Nick Leary second in 2:38:21, and Bree Drinkwater got third in 2:50:31.
Yeah, and first place for the men. I mean, he is the, I mean, you know, I'm taking a license here. He is the old man of the mountain, isn't he?
Yeah, totally.
Sures Corporal, 1:54:41. That's a massive time. And second place, Ryan Carr, who's an incredibly fast runner.
Yeah.
He's, you know, like Ryan is deadly, deadly fast. 2:01. 07, and in third place, Michael Erb in 204, 03. And amazing little factoid, Ryan rode his bike up from, I think he lives in Athol.
What?
He loaded up his bike with food and supplies and running gear and chugged on up the week before the race. He had a great time. He was really into it. So
you look at those, you know, those six people that we've just mentioned there. You know, you've got a New Zealand mountain running champion, previous champions of that race, legends of that race. It's really, really quality field, isn't it?
And that's the thing. If Ryan Carr's going, oh yeah, I wanted to get 2 hours for 20K. You're thinking, oh my, pack a sleeping bag and some pemmican or something, I don't know.
Yeah. All right. Dirtchurch Radio. Right. We thought we'd grab a chat with race director of the GOAT, Jason Cameron. Kia ora, Jason.
Kia ora, Eugene.
How you doing, Matt?
How are you?
Oh, look, I'm a little bit jaded after a long week with not a lot of sleep, but pretty ecstatic that we were actually able to deliver a GOAT. For a change, because it's been a long time. I think 1,183 days since we were on the hallowed ground of the Round the Mountain track around the flanks of Mount Ruapehu. So it was great to get it done.
Yeah, I mean, you guys have had a rough ride, but congratulations on you know, another incredible race. And what a remarkable event in a stunning part of the world.
Yeah, it's a privilege, you know, to be able to put an event on in these times, and to have people support you and want to go out and do something like that, and just to have the support of the stakeholders, we couldn't do it without their encouragement and approvals.
Was there a standout performance for you this year in the racing?
Yeah, I've been contemplating that today, and you know, I just think the GOAT is such a hard ass event, you know, and there's so many stories and so many personal achievements right across the whole field. So, I mean, there's no doubt there's standout performances at the, you know, at the front of the field, at the pointy end of the horn, but I just am in awe at some of the people and what they achieve with this event, because it's quite a challenge. It's only 20K, but you know, 1,200 meters of vertical ascent, and it just kicks your ass every year. You know, it's never conquered. I don't think there's too many that go through there feeling great the whole way. You have your highs and lows, but it's just a sort of terrain and environment where you just got to take it in and really just appreciate life and having an opportunity to run an incredible place and be around some like-minded people.
I mean, it's an event that means a lot to people, and you know, you said it's only 20K. I remember when I've not done the GOAT, but I remember when I started trail running, it was a race that I, you know, sort of checked out on the internet and felt quite genuinely terrified. You know, it's not something that you sort of, there's some races that you go, oh yeah, I could give that a crack, I'll see how I go, and then there's others that you think you've really got to bring your, you know, you got to bring your A game to it, whatever your abilities. I mean, what are the things that makes the GOAT so both special and difficult?
Well, I think, you know, it's just the type of course that you've got to put some decent preparation in. You can wing it, but you probably enjoy yourself more if you have done the hard yards. So probably a 10 to 12 week preparation, and you know, it's not an easy event to train for and simulate that kind of the Round the Mountain track, because there's just nothing like it in the rest of the North Island. You know, even, you know, Aucklanders are talking to some of those guys on the weekend, and you know, there's the, you know, the Milford Takapuna kind of trail there along the beach with some of those rocks, and you can go over to Rangitoto, but there's nothing that sort of simulates that rolling, you know, countryside and the more jagged kind of volcanic rocks, and you've got to lift your toes, you've got to lift your feet your whole way, and it just it just wears you down. It just grinds you down. And obviously when you get into that last 4K, when you descend from that ridge line above Lake Surprise and come down into Mangaturuturu, you've got another 3K of climbing to get up to Tura. So you've got to leave something for that. So it's a race you've got to need to plan your day, plan your pacing and your nutrition. So it's probably no different to an ultra, but it's just a shorter, sharper version.
Mm. Hell yeah. you mentioned this as well, that relationships are really important for you in the space that you're having this race in, and you work closely with Tangata Whenua and the Department of Conservation. What does it mean to be able to do that, and how do you go about maintaining those relationships?
Well, it's absolutely pivotal, really, in what we're doing down there. And, you know, the people that we always go and see, you know, before we'd like to do an event, or we have an idea. I mean, we're not creating anything new. We've got enough going on down there now. But, yeah, iwi, you really need to put them first, front and centre with what you're wanting to do, and to really understand the culture and the cultural importance of significance of the place. So, you know, we work with three main iwi around Mount Ruapehu, being Ngāti Hokkaido, Ngāti Uanuku and Ngāti Rangi. So it's just having those conversations with them and, you know, really trying to involve them in the event as much as you can. And we do that. So, you know, we had Tom and Tamari from Ngāti Hokkaido at the start on Saturday morning up at Iwiko at Whakapapa, and they welcome everyone, the mihi them, and give a little bit of a cultural context to the lands that people are crossing, and then you know, just helping people to understand that, and then wishing people all the best and giving them safe passage across the mountain, because that's really important for iwi, that people take care of themselves and come back in one piece.
Mm, absolutely. It's so important to acknowledge that, isn't it? And to acknowledge that history, their history with the manga. What's the history of the race itself?
Well, it has got a little bit of a wacky genesis, really. I was down in Awakuni in 2004 with some running mates, and my background in running is more from a traditional sort of track and cross country and road, and you know, mountain running or trail running really didn't even exist back when I was sort of racing myself in the late 90s. There were a few trail runs around in those days, but it was more mountain running. So you know, some contemporaries of mine were Jonathan White and Melissa Moon, so sort of was on some New Zealand teams with them. But we used to, it's almost like, you know, it seems a little bit sinister now, but we sort of used to make fun of mountain running a bit, you know, the egg and spoon racing, we used to call it, I think. It's quite different from the, you know, from the mainstream athletics. But I guess Rod Dixon actually started coaching me for a while, and he introduced me to trail running, and I ran the Dunn Run in Nelson a couple of years before 2004, and I just found huge benefit from trail running. It used to just, I wasn't a great technical trail runner, but I used to really push me hard, and I used to use it in my build up. So yeah, so fast track to 2004, and we were down there in Awakuni in the middle of winter, and we just decided to go for a run. So we drove up, you know, the Awakuni mountain road and ran in from Mama's Mile, as we know it today, down the Cascades and out towards Lake Surprise in about 3 foot of snow. And I think we only got just past the lake and had to turn around because it was pretty slow going. But yeah, it was sort of Robin Judkins kind of style. We came back and we were like, I was kind of the main kind of ideas man back those days, the one with the crazy ones. And I said, well, I'd love to do a race through here. Maybe we should come back, you know, in a couple of months and see what it's like when it's a bit drier. So that's what we did. And then, yeah, lo and behold, we launched the GOAT in December that year with the first ever concession I had for an event, and we had 202 finishers, and I think it was $85 to run the goat that day. So it's gone up by about $100 in 18 years, so that's not too bad. And yeah, we did everything that we needed to do. We even had a health and safety plan way back then. Probably the budget was a little bit loose, but we didn't know what we were getting ourselves into. But yeah, that was the start of it all.
Brilliant. Wow. And I mean, that first run you did on your own, the epic recce that started it all off, you know, you talked about the snow, and gosh, you've really had some challenges with weather and so on. And that's, I guess, one of the things that's prompted the move of the date of the event. Can you just talk us through the thinking that went behind that?
Well, I guess, you know, the last two prior to this year, so 2019 and 18, we were on the contingency course for the first time in, you know, 15, 16 years. We'd had a couple of close calls with weather, I think 2012, we might have had a very marginal year, but there was decisions made based on, you know, the improvements of the weather on those occasions. But yeah, Groundhog Day for us, the last two goats, where we just, it wasn't safe to run the event. And I guess it just sort of highlights that it's a really complex environment to deliver an event in. You know, there's a lot of moving parts, and you know, with volcanic alert levels and the volatility of that alpine environment. So that's why. So I'm just so stoked that we actually got this thing done on the weekend, and we're actually able to deliver something to people, because we're not in the business of delivering excitement and adrenaline for people. And you know, that's what it's all about for us. So it was just, it was quite surreal on the weekend to be back in some of those venues again, because it just seems such a long time since we've been able to do the real thing.
And I mean, we can't, you know, and sort of to finish off, we can't talk to you without talking about COVID. I mean, what a bloody curveball it's been. I mean, can you give us a glimpse of, I mean, how the hell you navigated this year, you know, with extra stress and cost and everything that went into that?
Yes, well, you know, I mean, I've got 5 events in my portfolio, and I've had to, you know, hibernate 3 of those. And the 2 that we did decide to put on in 2021 were the Tussock, which was a month ago, and the goat. And I guess we went into those events, you know, 9 months ago with, you know, eyes wide open in terms of what might happen. Tried to lay down, you know, the foundation really well and just put people in the picture of what might happen. So I know everyone hates virtual events or is sick and tired of them, but, you know, that's the kind of some of the things that we had to think about. We got a huge amount of learning out of the Ring of Fire being one of the first events cancelled in 2020, way back in March last year. We had to cancel Ring of Fire 3 days out when, you know, the first COVID hit New Zealand and the borders closed. We lost 150 athletes overnight on that weekend, and then a couple of days later, the first ban of events and gatherings of 500 or more. So, you know, we had Ring of Fire locked and loaded, ready to deliver, and we had to cancel that. So we had some experience in dealing with it. So I guess that gave us some insights into how we'd need to prepare for, you know, delivering the goat and the tussock. And we just, we're fortunate enough to have been able to deliver those events, and we've had to manage them in adherence to the government requirements and the voluntary events code, etc. And I'm feeling very privileged that fortunate that we've been able to get those events delivered, because a lot of event organisers have had a lot more disruption than us.
Mm, yeah, I mean, timing wise, you just absolutely nailed it, didn't you?
Yeah, I mean, we were just on tenterhooks that whole of that last week, you know, after the Valentine's Day cluster. And you know, I was at Tarawera that weekend listening to you guys and you guys were awesome. added a lot, another dimension to the Kerry and Ellie show. Those guys did an amazing job. But yeah, I think just, awesome to have such a diverse range of expertise and knowledge of all the athletes. But yeah, I got the opportunity to run that weekend, but my thoughts were on, you know, a couple of weeks later when I'd knew that we'd be delivering an event ourselves. And, you know, then we went into the following weekend and watching those events or hearing of the events in the South Island, the old ghost and shot over moonlight impacted and just wondering what was going to sort of happen to us. So we were just really walking on eggshells that last week, but, you know, putting everything into place that we needed to. Just got to that Friday night, I think, that at the end of registration at 9 o'clock, and thought, well, there's no 9 o'clock press conference, so we're gonna be going ahead because the weather forecast was mint. So,
That's the tough thing. I mean, I think you know, nobody underestimates how tough this year has been on event organisers. And I guess one of the things is there's so much that's out of your control. You can't do anything about us being dragged into level three or whatever. How that must just do play havoc with you.
Yeah, I think you've just got to have try and be upbeat. And obviously you've got to have some protections around the event. So, you know, when you're organising an event like this, you're making a huge commitment and taking a lot of risk to put it on. And as I say, these events in Tongariro carry a lot of complexity in terms of health and safety and just the geographical expanse of terrain that we cover and shifting around resources and having enough people and aid stations and just delivering a great event. Because I guess my philosophy with our events is that we want people to have an awesome time and we want to give them as much added value as we can. So, you know, we take it really seriously, but it's a livelihood for us. So, you know, we've got to make it work for us as well.
Absolutely. Well, you certainly pulled off a great event at the weekend by the looks of it, and congratulations and good luck with God's Own that you're into now.
Oh, look, I'm just on the periphery of that, just with my role with Rotorua Lakes Council. But in terms of my own events, I'm done now for the summer, and just looking forward to New Zealand, getting back into some normalcy, and getting into a couple of trail runs myself, which I love doing when I'm not organising events.
Brilliant. Thanks, Jason.
Cheers, guys.
Thanks, Jason.
Okay, thanks, Jason. That was brilliant. Well, look, we also checked in with Tarawera 100-mile champion Dr. Katie Wright, because what the hell's she been up to? If you looked at her social media over the weekend, she's been posting some pretty incredible stuff, hasn't she, Matt?
Absolutely. So here we go. Without further ado, Dr. Katie Wright.
Church Radio.
We'd like to wish a very, very happy birthday to Katie Wright. Katie, where in the heck are you?
Hey, thank you. Happy St. Xavier's Day as well.
Yes, absolutely.
It is. I'm sat in the pub in Cadrona after just coming back to the kind of land of people after 3 days out in the hills with Marlora and a couple of others.
That sounds like your dream birthday, being out in the mountains and then coming back and going to the pub.
It has literally been the best birthday ever. It's been absolutely fantastic. We were woken up this morning at about 2 a.m. by a possum jumping onto my head. and have spent the whole day just climbing around up mountain peaks and, finishing off at the pub. It's been delightful.
Well, the second to last time I spoke to you, you were in a bit more of a state. I mean, that was only 2 weeks ago when you... Famously, you and Fiona Havice put each other to the sword for 100 miles and finished 90 seconds outside of each other for that win. I mean, surely you can't walk yet. I mean, what have you been doing?
Well, when you get a message through from Malcolm Law saying, oh, do you fancy coming and fast packing the course of the Wild event that is starting in 2022, you don't really say no. That was definitely, even if it was the day after Tarawera, I think I still would have managed to drag myself out of bed and attempt to make my legs move. So, yeah, not enough of an opportunity to say no to.
I mean, who are you with?
So I'm with Mal. Sally had joined us for the first couple of days. Ben, who's come to do some filming, who is Tanya Bottomley's partner, Run Like Tanya. And John, another friend of Mal's, and James Harcum, who's another good friend of Mal's. So it's been a pretty awesome couple of days.
What a great crew! And so you're literally reccing the Wild, this race that we're all looking forward to so much. Can you give anything away? Can you tell us about the course at all so far?
It's just, you know, I haven't actually talked to Mal about what I'm allowed to say, so I'll probably tell you lots of things I'm not supposed to. It is just outrageous. It's like there's nothing else in the world, I'm sure, that is going to be the same as this. It's kind of on that boundary between make your own adventure and race. It's got huge amounts of vert. It's got loads of off-track stuff. There's, you know, I think we've done 5 big peaks so far, and there's another couple of peaks to go in the next 2 days. So we're just over 100 kilometers into the course, and it's just stunning. There's no other way to describe it. It's just absolutely fantastic. One to sign up for, I'm sure.
And I mean, how have you been feeling? I mean, like, again, you know, we were kind of laughing about it before, but 2 weeks ago, you know, you did run a very hard pace for 100 miles. I mean, how is the body?
Yeah, it's really good, considering what I put it through in the last couple of months. It's held up remarkably well. I think it helps, you know, we're fast packing the course over 5 days, so they're big days, but I've had a kind of 9 kg pack. We're not breaking any speed records, so that's been quite nice to just take things slowly, take in the scenery and really enjoy it. It's definitely the opposite of what we were doing at Tarawera of head down and just run. So it's just really nice to be able to stop at the top of a peak and have a sandwich and appreciate the view. I gave my dad a call from the top of Knuckle Peak earlier to say hi and have a birthday chat with him. So yeah, it's a completely different way of traveling than racing.
That's fantastic. I mean, you know, last time we spoke, you know, you'd had a massive week. You'd started a new job. You'd bought a house. You'd done all these kind of things. And then, I mean, have you had time to sort of, and then you go and, you know, you win Tarawera. Have you had time to sort of decompress, or were you straight back to work? Have you had any time off?
No, I was pretty much straight back to work, but I'm only working part-time, which means I work half the week and have half the week to sort life out. So, yes, I'm getting there. It's a pretty good time of my life at the moment. Things are pretty good.
And I guess that's you would have been in the hills when you got the news of, you know, us moving into level 3 and the rest of the country going into level 2. That must have felt quite surreal, hey?
Yeah, and just absolutely gutted for, you know, the events that are happening in the next couple of weeks. I know there's some really big ones that people obviously have been training, you know, all year for. It's gutting that they're not going to go ahead. But, you know, hopefully people can go and make their own adventure for the weekend and still get something out of the training. And we'll, you know, we've been here before. And hopefully in a couple of weeks' time we'll be back to normal again, or as close to normal as we can be.
It's that sense of the new normal, isn't it? That's so it's that sense of at once sort of familiarity, but again that sort of unknown. Hey,
yeah, yeah. And it's that sense of, you know, you just can't plan for anything at the moment. And I think you just need to build some resilience into not knowing what's going to happen and coping with changes when they do. When they do come.
And so, I mean, I guess on that, I mean, how's it, you know, I was utterly flabbergasted when, you know, you and Fee were on the finish line going, yeah, yeah, we're going to go and do 48 hours on a track. It's like, how about a lie down, a blanket, you know, a mochaccino, something. I mean, are you still planning for that? Is that in full swing for the planning wise?
I have been planning this since probably June of last year. June of 2020, it started coming into my head. I think being in Whanganui and having Cook's Gardens to run around and train at, it a little idea surfaced in my head. And so I've been trying to get people on board since then. And it's, we're getting there. I think hoping that Gareth Thomas is coming on board and potentially going to race direct with a couple of others. So if we can find some sponsorship for it, then fingers crossed at some stage this year, we'll get the event together and super excited to have another head-to-head with Fee. I think we kind of bring the best out of each other. So,
fantastic. And so the plans for this evening? I mean, you've finished, you're at the Cadrona pub. It's a couple of quiets and a well-deserved rest.
Yeah, well, I'm not running tomorrow because I've got to go to work. So I can have a couple. I think everyone else might have to be in bed in about an hour's time. But we're definitely there's a couple of burgers and more beers being ordered. So we'll maybe have a shower as well. That sounds quite inviting.
It's the little things. All right. Well, look, we'll let you get back to it. It's so nice to talk to you. And our friend Saywon, he saw that clip of you running down the hill and he was full of admiration, but he was also a little bit disgusted. He was like, how can she run like that already? So it looks like things sort of have come together quite nicely for you, hey?
It's very easy to put a few seconds together on a video and make it look good on Instagram. We weren't running that fast the whole way, I promise.
Let's not forget, it's all about the gram. All right, look, Katie, on that note, we'll leave you to it. But yeah, happy birthday and do take care of yourself and hope to catch you soon.
Definitely. Thanks very much. Nice to catch up with you, babe.
Thanks, Katie.
Bye.
Okay, thanks, Katie. Look, the other race that was on over the weekend was Triple Peaks in Hawke's Bay. It's basically a multi-sport event. You can run, walk, or mountain bike. And they had an ultra 55k race, which had about 2,000 metres of vert in it itself. But Brona Turley brought it home in 6:56.01. Charlie Baxter second in 7:39.14, and Jade Overy was third in 7:51.36.
And the men, Nick Johnson, king of Riverhead, in 5:08.04, and Mark Doohan in 5:38.23. Graham Buxey in 5:49.08. So, you know, it looks like a hard run race, but Nick bringing it home with quite an impressive lead there. And, you know, he said in his usual understated way, he went out a bit hard, paid for it in a big way later, blooming hot too. So I can't imagine if he's saying it was hot then.
Yeah. Oof. Oh man, and that's backing up two weeks later after pacing at the 100 miler as well.
Yeah, pacing his friend Liana, and that was a very sweet thing that he did.
Yeah, absolutely. All right.
Greatest run ever, which is the part of the show when we ask you to write in and tell us your greatest run ever. It doesn't have to be a race or a mountain summit. It might just be a run around the block, something that sung to you for some reason. And you can send it in to us at dirtchurchradio@gmail.com. And this week we have Aaron Isles. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. But this is a great one. It's short but sweet. So the early morning had begun, 7 o'clock, the sun was rising and the birds were awake. A surf at our local North Coast Point with a good pot of dolphins, no less, and a coffee to follow, and my wake-up process is complete. My wife, Christy, a star athlete of the partnership and previous greatest run ever, dropped me at Waitahi on our way home. Shoes, socks, shorts and optional t-shirt were simply all I needed for the next couple of hours, and believe it or not, the Dunedin day was heating up. The next few kilometres were a trail runner's dreamland, sleepy roads and onto almost tropical looking beach, through a cave and another beach with only habitats being wildlife and one lone walker. I drifted up and over the headland and on towards the prominent cone shape Mopanui. A gravel road took me around an estuary, dodging low-flying kereru and being heckled by the kingfisher on the power lines above.
We know all about
that. I came to the base. Yeah, the kotari, they're pretty awesome. I came to the base of the track leading up to the forest, losing myself, kind of literally, in the shade of trees was a nice reprieve from the heat that was settling into the day. A wrong turn or two didn't seem to matter. I just wanted to be lost in here forever, but I was still heading up, which was a good sign. Topping out above the Otanui Eco Sanctuary with views of the rugged silver peaks, the infamous Mount Cargill, never heard of it, and the peaky wee gems Dunedin runners call their own. A sealed road under my feet, now Otago Harbour and peninsula views, took me homeward. My stride freed up and quickened, and I relaxed as it flattened off. Stopping at a local water spring for Nature's Aid station of crisp cold water, fuchsia berries and some early blackberries across the road, I rounded the corner to see my West Harbour home a few kilometres away in the valley below, and a large container ship slowly sliding out to sea with a thud of its engines. As I float the last section of downhill, I feel so lucky to be here and now free and living in this beautiful country, Aotearoa. This is my greatest run ever.
Whew, no wonder.
Fantastic.
Aaron, that is fantastic. And, you know, to have two greatest run ever-ers in one family, that's
amazing.
That's magic. That's magic. So, the rest of you, keep sending them in. We are running a little bit short, so now's your chance to get your greatest run ever on. You know, and if you're in lockdown level 3, look for something to do.
That's right.
Sit down.
I mean, get amongst it. It's the time. It's the time. And rest assured, you know, we're going to keep doing this. It's, as we said at the top, we got a little bit thrown out this week. But, you know, you can find us on all the podcast platforms.
Mm.
You can like and subscribe if you fancy, and you can download direct from the website, which is dirtchurchradio.com. Don't forget to write in with your greatest run ever. We'd love to hear from you, and you can read them on the website too.
Thank you to our sponsors, Scott Running, Further Faster, Spring Energy, and CLE. And thank you to our Patreon supporters and Wild Things.
Absolutely. Thank you to our editor, Kieran. And I cannot wait. I'm so excited for the guest that we've got lined up for you next week. So tune in then. Ka kite and ke kaha.
Ka kite.
Thanks, Rigby.